So now with demand-driven evaluation already known, you might wonder what the possible drawbacks of that is. And well, one thing you might consider is that if your evaluation strategy is dynamic, debugging is actually turning out to be pretty difficult, particularly if you do things like print-line debugging. You get just a mess of outputs from that. And also, what turns out if you're starting to apply your attribute evaluation, it might turn out that you are not just interested in a single attribute evaluation, but usually you're interested in just all attributes. Yeah, and that is particularly the case in the context of compiler construction. So usually, instead of doing all the evaluations demand-driven, you just do them in one go and save yourself from re-evaluating a lot of the subtrees in between. Yeah, so evaluating all together is usually quite cheap compared to doing them all in demand-driven fashion. So you would like to usually do them in one go, and this is what you usually do with a pass-oriented evaluation. So what does that mean? That's what we're gonna try to motivate via an example. So the example would be the following, particularly numbering of the leaves of a syntax tree. This is an example for an attribute that, in order to be determined, for example, if you want to determine the attribute for this particular node, you need some communication with those two attributes here, because numbering is kind of a state-related thing. When you go through the tree, you change the state of the next to be numbered leaf, so to say, and thus you need to communicate this particular state of the currently reached high number. Yeah? So you might wonder how to do that, and there's an actual pattern for doing so. Yeah, and this pattern consists in introducing so-called helper attributes, and the helper attributes we call pre and post with a particular intention behind. Yeah, and particularly the intention for the pre attribute is to be computed during pre-order traversal of the syntax tree, and the post attribute is expected to be computed during post-order traversal. And now you only have to add the wiring between those attributes. So in our case, we start with a pre-value of 0, communicating the state being like the next number to or the currently high number for numbering our leaves, yeah. So this 0 in the beginning, and this is then handed down to the first child, yeah, via this, and then in the inner nodes of the tree, is just handed straight from the current root to the current left child until at some point it hits the first leaf, where the state is actually changed by increasing it by 1 from the pre and being stored to the post attribute of the leaf. And then it's going to be transported back up the tree. Either, well, depending on what child you are, if you're a left child, you will communicate this state to your right sibling by storing it from post 1 to pre 2. Or if you are a right sibling, then you just communicate it back to the parent via post 0 is defined by post 2 until in the end you reach top. Yeah? With that, you have handed around a state through your tree such that all the nodes in the system have seen it once. Yeah, and this gives rise to a particular pattern where you hand down the information of the state from a parent pre-attribute to to the left child pre-attribute. Then in between, you hand it over from the left child to your right child via post to pre. And then in the end, you communicate it back to the parent via post of the right child to parent post. Yeah. So if you think about that, with such a pattern throughout the complete, throughout all the trees, three building blocks that there are, you will never be able to construct a circle, because usually all that you can construct with that will be structures that are summarized in this. Yeah, so you can usually, this is the maximum what you can achieve, pre goes to post. And this is apparently strongly acyclic. Yeah, so in each node, you would usually compute the inherited attributes before descending into a child node, and the synthesized attributes after returning from a child node. And this way of computing information is so particularly, or has turned out to be so particularly useful, that we have even formed an actual grammar class. Yeah, that is defined by that. So that's the so-called L-attributed grammars. These grammars are characterized by the dependencies that are that are constrained by this definition here. So for all productions S to S1 to Sn, every inherited attribute of Sj only depends on the inherited attributes of its parent S, or and the attributes of its left hand side siblings, so the siblings S1 to Sj minus 1. Yeah. So if that is the case, you have an L attributed grammar, and this is a grammar that allows for an attribute system as the one that we have sketched here with this pre-post structure. Yeah. So why is this so particularly useful? Well, for once, these attributes can be evaluated even during parsing, if you do LL parsing, for example. Yeah? So you can straight away evaluate your attribute system without even setting up a syntax tree for the whole thing. Yeah. So as an example, you could, for example, view the pocket calculator. This is a thing that you can directly implement in L attributation and evaluate during parsing. Yeah? Also, another nice property is that for L attribute grammars, you have a fixed evaluation strategy being single depth first traversal. Yeah? And what that means is that with an L attributed grammar, you can just have one run and be done with that. So it would be so this has a nice strategy to be solved. So to make that into a more generic strategy for evaluating attribute systems, you would then proceed in and try to partition your set of attributes in a way such that each and every part of the partition is an actual L-attributed system. And if you do so, you can evaluate your complete attribute system by doing depth-first traversal on each of these attribute sets AI. Yeah, so you just do N sweeps on your syntax tree and have computed all the attributes that there are. And the black art in that respect is to craft your attribute system in a way such that it is particularly friendly to this approach, meaning that it can be partitioned in as few L-attributed sets as possible. And if you manage to do that, you can minimize the number of sweeps that you need on your syntax tree. An example where that can already be seen is like our introductory example with the empty and first being joinable into one depth first search. Yeah? So there, this is already a partition where we have four attributes, but only three attribute sets. So we can have profit from synergies there.